Our scripture lesson today comes from Acts chapter 8, starting in the 26th verse. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And Greg, if you're listening, I'm starting to break a sweat. Can you spin them up, please? Thank you. He must be listening because he jumped right up in that window. What? That is the last Sunday, isn't it? But then, let's see, who would like to come forward? Anybody prepared to try it? You want to try it? Come on up here, Buck. Here, you can just read from Daddy's book. Right here, I got it set. I completely forgot. Far be it from me to do that. That's verse 26. And go all the way over to 40. Right? Got that? Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40, read by the great speaker. What's your name?
I don't remember. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian, an eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury in Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, please tell me, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, there's water. Here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave the orders to stop the chariot. Then both Peter and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized them. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared to Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Let us pray. Dear God, let these passages enlighten us in today in scripture that my dad has prepared. Help us to understand more about what you did for us and what you have to teach us. Amen.
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 Should we clap?
I think we should probably do that. I got to get that written down somewhere. I got to start putting that in my minuscule brain to remember. For some reason, I thought we had another Sunday left in this month. It just feels like there should be one more. I saw a thing written the other day before we start that talks about this weather. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Forrest Gump, but somebody put a picture of Forrest Gump up, and it said, "Maryland weather," and I can do it in Forrest Gump's voice. And one day, it just started raining, and it rained for 4 months without stopping. I think that's what we're doing, but we're blessed by it, because as soon as it quits, a week afterward, boy, we need rain. But our scripture lesson today sets us in motion for the sermon reflections. And so we reflect on what this weekend could mean. You see, Petty Officer John J. Mahoney, on February 3rd, 1942, was ripped from his sleep and became worried. You see, they were traveling from Newfoundland, and they were on the troop ship, when suddenly an explosion rocked it. And as he was ripped from his sleep from his bunk, he became worried about the fact that he didn't have his gloves on. And the air outside was just cold enough. And so he searched in vain and couldn't find his gloves, his issued gloves to put on, and was worried about the frigid temperatures and what they would do to him. You see, at 12:55 a.m., a periscope broke the icy surface of the water and began to hunt for its prey. German submarine U-223 spotted a boat lagging back. It was carrying 902 passengers, all set to be a support team in World War II. And so it surfaced and prepared to fire, unseen in the inky darkness, and fired out three torpedoes in a fan. One hit, decisive, deadly, striking the ship well below the waterline. And me not being a naval officer, I don't know everything, but I know that a hole below the waterline, especially of that size, means instant trouble. The thing was crowded to capacity. It had 902 servicemen, merchants, seamen, and civilian workers. It was a luxury coastal liner, a 6,000-ton vessel that had been converted into military service. It was part of the SG-19 convoy when it was taken out. The other three boats in the convoy had seen what had happened. One couldn't circle back, but the other one did and picked up the first 32. Then swung around and picked up the remaining survivors it could. And 150 miles from its destination, prior to this torpedo attack, the captain, knowing that there had been sub activity and being cautious and being careful, had ordered his men to sleep in the ready. All, everybody, put on your clothes, your shoes, your socks, your life jackets, your gloves. Sleep that way in case. But the men ignored it because it was uncomfortable, because the heat of the engines took them out. And some of the sailors slept in simply their underwear. And the torpedo struck. Cracked the hull. The boat began taking on water. The communications and the electricity was knocked out. The boat went dark. The battery system did not pick it up. On board were four relatively new chaplains. They all held the rank of first lieutenant. They included Methodist minister George Fox, Rabbi Alexander Good, Roman Catholic priest John P. Washington, and Reverend Clark Poling. All their backgrounds were different. All their denominations were different. But they had met in Army Chaplain School in Harvard University and were pairing. And as the panic and the chaos set in aboard the SS Dorchester, men began to be scared and ran throughout the ship, some of them unable to get away, instantly drowning below decks. Those that made it up on top were stunned by an explosion, and John J. Mahoney, who ran around looking for his gloves, ran by Rabbi Good, who along with the other four stood, or the other three, stood on the deck and asked him what was wrong. And when he explained to him, Rabbi Good said, "Never mind here, I have two pairs," and gave him his pair of gloves. Mahoney said later on in writing of his experience, he realized that Rabbi Good was not carrying two pair of gloves and had given him his own pair. By the time most of the men were topside and the chaplains had opened up storage lockers and began giving out all the life jackets they could find, it was then that Engineer Grady Clark witnessed an astonishing sight. When there were no more life jackets left in the storage room, these four chaplains, the oldest of which was 25, turned to men and gave their four life jackets away. John Ladd, another survivor, said, "It was the finest thing I ever saw. this side of heaven, and his response is understandable. The altruistic action of the four chaplains constitutes one of the purest and most ethical, moral foundations of Christianity, of the love of God. When given their life jackets, Rabbi Good did not call out for a Jew, Father Washington did not look for a Catholic, nor did Reverends Fox and Poling look for Protestants. They simply handed their life jackets out to four sailors without life jackets. The ship sunk in 25 minutes. And soldiers reported seeing them holding on, arm's length, calling out prayer and peace to those grasping at anything that would keep them above the water. And as the ship sank, the four went under the water singing hymns and praising the Lord above. The story of the four chaplains is so easily forgotten, written out of history. On February 3rd, 1942, of the 902 men aboard, 672 died, but 230 survived. And who knows how many survived because of the chaplains. We know at least four did. The news reached the American shores, and the nation was stunned by the magnitude of the tragedy and the heroism of these four chaplains. A one-time-only posthumous Special Medal of Heroism was authorized by Congress and awarded by President Eisenhower on January 18, 1961. They couldn't receive the Medal of Honor because they didn't die under fire. But the medal was made and intended to have the same weight and importance and was handed out to each of their kin. Sacrifice. Today we focus on that because we all too often forget what it truly is that we have. We have sacrifice. And yes, I'm talking about living in this country. And I'm sorry, if you're a liberal, well, I'm going to break your heart today because I am proud of my country, of the United States of America. And this is not a political statement. This is fact. I am proud of one country under God, and I live in this country proudly because of it. And because of those who sacrificed selflessly for me, for you. And all because of a sacrifice given so freely, I have the chance to live forever because of him. That's the greatest country to ever live in. The country of the family of Jesus Christ. Amen goes right there. And that's what we look at. And today, if we look at these great sacrifices, we look beyond that to the greatest one who laid it all down, who gave it all to us, who walked straight into the line of fire, Jesus Christ. And there are men and women on this earth today that live because of that. And we live today in this beautiful country because of the men and women who gave for us. You know, the story of the four chaplains has a little bit more to it. They were issued a postage stamp, a 3-center back, I don't know how many years ago it was. And I may have told that story before, I don't know. But the story of the four chaplains has never left my thought ever since I first read it. Because you never hear about it. And yet they did it. And how do we live in this country today not thanking them? I'm proud of that flag laying up there on that altar. I'm proud of the heritage that I have, that I carry. I am proud of this country, and I am proud of the fact that within this country, we worship Jesus Christ. And so what do we call it when we reflect on it? When we look at the reflections, how do we see this? We're brethren. In August of 1708, in case you're trying to count, that was a little over 300 years ago. In August of 1708, eight men and women went down into the Eider River in the town of Schwarzenau, Germany. I have not yet been to the town of Schwarzenau, Germany, and I have not been to the Eider River. Bud, you went, didn't you? You were in Germany, right? But you didn't get to that part, southern Germany. My family traces right back to that critical day. That means nothing. I'm still just plain old Paul. But eight men and women reading the New Testament, understanding the sign of the times, deeming themselves to want to be able to have a chance to worship Jesus Christ fully without chains, walked down the banks to the Eider River and went in. Alexander Mack was the leader of the group. He did not baptize first. Someone, and we'll never know who, because those eight people deemed it necessary to keep it from becoming such a great thing, don't record who baptized Alexander Mack, our founder, first. And then they baptized. And when they did that, do you know what happened? They broke every law in the land imaginable by baptizing in water. They sacrificed themselves that moment in that cold water in that river for Jesus Christ. Say amen. And that's where we grow from. They understood the value of giving themselves over. What would happen to them? Well, they would be persecuted. Some of them would not make it out of Germany. They would be shot out of their country. They would have to go to other countries to try to find a way. They would eventually wind up in Germantown, Pennsylvania, bringing the Church of the Brethren movement, or back then the German Baptist Brethren, to this land. And when we get in that water as brethren, we get in that water as sacrifice. Because that's truly what it is to me. When any Christian steps into that water and understands what it means, you're leaving a memorial now behind to honor Jesus Christ. I offer this, that my understanding, my belief of baptism is a sacrifice, is a leave behind, is a letting go of who you once were to become who He wants you to be. Now, by no means will I ever tell you that baptism is salvation. I don't believe that. It's not true. The saying is, and I love it, and some of you know it, if you can catch up to me, follow along, it's an outward sign of an inward change. It's not salvation. It's saying to the world, this is who I am now. I have sacrificed the old me and left it behind. And when we go back to the scripture that Buck read for us, we see something very interesting. We see that there was a lack of knowledge and understanding of what that meant, of what sacrifice truly was. I love this story, and we don't read it that much. Philip and the Ethiopian. I love how it just simply said, now an angel of the Lord, and that's how it starts off in the 26th verse. Now an angel of the Lord came to Philip and said, go over there and wait for this guy to get here. Now, how many people would be ready? You're sitting there, you're drinking your coffee on a morning. It's a beautiful morning. The clouds are just right. You got a bluebird sitting on your shoulder. Zippity-doo-dah. And suddenly an angel of the Lord shows up and says, hey, Paul Leatherman, look, I want you to go to Africa.
Oh, dear.
I don't want to go there. I want you to go to Africa, and I want you to go to this old road over there. It's about 1,000,000 degrees over there right now, and I want you to wait and explain the word of the Lord to somebody. Yeah, but I'm not, I don't. And Philip went. He went. An angel of the Lord appeared and said, go. That is one of the most telling moments at the beginning of this story. He didn't question it. He prepared himself for sacrifice, and so he just went. The Bible doesn't say he thought about it. The angel said, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And so, verse 27, he started on his way. He met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. And so he begins. And he gets a chance to bring the gospel. I love the part in there that says that the Ethiopian was reading from the book of Isaiah the prophet. And Philip asked him, do you realize what you're reading? And the eunuch says to him, rather indignantly, if you can read between the lines a little bit, how in the world am I supposed to understand this if no one will explain this to me? Stop right there for a moment. I have children. Have you met them, Buck and Wally? I will tell them, go out here and do something. And they will stand there and look at me. And I will say to them, didn't I just say go do that? And my children are smarter than me. Because if they don't know how to do it, they go, Dad, how are we supposed to do it if you don't explain to us what to do? And behind me somewheres, I hear my wife go, ha ha! And so I have to sit down and explain it to them. Now the next time I tell them, well, that's a different story. But the eunuch desires knowledge. He wants to know. And the holder of that knowledge is Philip at that moment. And Philip, not becoming angry, not becoming indignant because of the way the eunuch spoke to him. And let me make sure you understand this. The eunuch had power. Let's go back and read it again. He was in charge of the treasury of Candace. He was a man of great high esteem. And here's dirty Philip, an apostle. And Philip says, well, let me go through it with you. And so they read. Now Philip wants to know, do you understand it? He reads it. The eunuch then says to Philip, who is the prophet they're talking about? And Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told them the good news about Jesus. Within this, we see the opportunity. We see the moment for sacrifice. A minor one at best, but still what we consider a sacrifice. Because you have to humble yourself enough when somebody asks you that question to show them the gospel. Not lord it over them. Christians, I'm telling you, one of the worst things we can do is to lord the gospel over those in search of it. You're not that smart. Believe me, I'm not. We have but a basic understanding of the greatness of Jesus Christ. And if we share that in humility and understanding, more will come to it. And not see it as a threat, as so many in the world see Christianity as, but as a way to peace, as a path. If we are allowed to become that sacrifice in that moment. If you believe me, say amen. And so he talks to him. I would love that. The eunuch says, get up here and sit down. Climb into my chariot. We were at, we have to replace a vehicle because a tree fell on it. And that's how it is. And we were at Lowe's the other night. And my wife has been on me about, we need to go check them out, we need to go check them out. And so, we're in the parking lot getting ready to leave, and we see a vehicle like what we're going to look at, and a woman sitting in it. I said, hey, go over there and ask that woman if you can sit in that car and just see what it looks like. And my wife went, what? I said, I'm standing right here. Just go over, you're pretty. She'd never let me near the truck. But you go over there and talk to her, and next thing I know, they're having a 15-minute conversation like they've known each other forever. And she gets back in and said, didn't you get in it? No, I saw inside. That was enough. Oh, good grief. But he invites her. He invites him up in. And so Philip climbs in and sits down. And they begin to talk about the most beautiful story ever written. And they clop along. And the Bible even says they traveled. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. They came to some water. And the eunuch, who I love at this point, the eunuch is bold. The eunuch is on fire. The eunuch is awake. And he says, look, here is some water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Huh? Right here. Okay. And they gave orders to stop the chariot. And both Philip and the eunuch went down in the water. And Philip baptized him. Just like that. No question, no fanfare, no nothing. They just went down in. The eunuch accepted Christ, went down in, said, I must be washed in the water to be saved again, and I want to do it to honor Jesus Christ who sacrificed himself. And when they came up, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took him away. The eunuch didn't turn around and go, where are you? What's going on? Hey, why am I here alone? Just gone. The eunuch went on his way doing what? Rejoicing. Look what happened to me, brothers. Look what happened to me, sisters. I went down in the water and I came back up. You know, at the end of this thing, and I got to tell you up front, at the end of the service today, it says video. Well, we got our wires crossed, and there's just going to be the song. We're going to get the video. We're going to show it to you because we think it's powerful. But that song, when I went down to the river to pray, and in the movie, oh, brother, where art thou? The one falls down in the water when he sees him, and he comes back out, and he goes, come on in, brothers, the water is great. My sins have been washed away. We ought to come up out of the water like that every time. And yet some people, when they get ready to go to baptism, they get a little bit nervous. Ron and Liz, you ain't got to be nervous, because I got this under control. I'm going to hold you under till the bubbles quit coming out. That's not how you do it. Maybe I better read the manual. Sacrifice. Today, this country we celebrate was built on sacrifice. On so many sacrifices. On those that sacrificed everything they had to come and found this country. On those that sacrificed their own lives to build this country. On those that sacrificed their lives to protect and serve this country. And as Christians, we remember the sacrifice of those who went on to serve us. We reflect on baptism. The story is told about the baptism of King Angus by St. Patrick in the middle of the 5th century. Sometime during the rite, I've never seen a baptism like this, but apparently it's very long and involved. But sometime during the rite, St. Patrick leaned on his sharp pointed staff and inadvertently stabbed the king's foot. And after the baptism was over, St. Patrick looked down at all the blood and realized what he had done and began to beg the king's forgiveness. Why did you suffer this pain in silence? The saint wanted to know. And the king said, I thought it was part of the ritual. I wanted to sacrifice my old self to that cross so that the new self could be seen by the world. And if it meant a little pain, so be it. And I love that picture of baptism because I have now done it many times. There are several of you in here I have had the pleasure of doing. And each of you did the same thing on that first moment. You came in nervous. And I smile not because I'm laughing at you. I smile because I know what's coming. On the other end, you're going to walk out of there smiling, rejoicing, thanking God because it's been washed away. Because you are going to sacrifice. I had to do it. Yes, I got baptized when I was 14 years old. I've told the story 100,000 times. Me and four boys that used to sit on the back pew, or me and three other boys, used to sit on the back pew of Sam's Creek Church of the Brethren. You want their names? Jimmy Worley, Jimmy Plank, Willie Plank, Paul Leatherman, us four. We would sit back there and we would color and we would look at books together. And we were 14-year-old boys. And we sat all the way in the back because we figured my father couldn't see us that far back. Turns out he could see really good because on some Sundays, I thought he was ready to baptize me in a much more different way. And Dad was up there beating the pulpit and we were preaching and he was preaching and we were listening. And finally, one of them leaned over and said, Paul, what? You think we ought to go up front? What'd we do? No, man, listen to him for a minute. And up there in the front, you can hear my dad, and baptize and be cleaned and blah, blah. I said, do you want to go? Yeah, I want to go. Do you want to go? I don't know. Do you want to go? Let's go. Do you want to go later? We can go. We can go. All right, let's go. We'll all get up. You think everybody will be all right? I think somebody will have a heart attack if they see all four of us come forward. Let's go up. And we got up, and we all four walked to the front of the church, and the church went, what? Gave my heart to the Lord. baptized in Pipe Creek Church of the Brethren the next Sunday. And then some odd years later, I met this woman, got married. She wanted into church. They thought it was a good idea to let her in. And we went down in Grossnickel Creek. Well, Middle Creek, but that part belonged to the Grossnickels. And just a couple of us went down there, and in the water we went. And I went with her. And under I went again. And for those who think that baptism is a one-time deal, let me tell you something. Every pastor worth his salt that takes somebody down into that water gets his own self baptized again, because he gets to reflect. He gets to live in those reflections. He gets to see that water. He gets to remind himself of the glory and the honor and what he is allowed to do, and it humbles him to no end. It makes my heart burst that I am able to hold on to somebody in that water and hold them close to me as they sacrifice their old self and they make a memorial to that cross that I now serve Jesus Christ. Let no man take me away from it. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's what it's all about. And I look forward to it. It's not just membership to this church or this denomination. It's membership to the church. Jesus Christ's holy church. It is an outward sign. When I put my hand out like that, it means you all follow along. Apparently I'm still not good enough or powerful enough. It's an outward sign
of an inward change.
An inward change. And I know what this weekend means. And for many it is a memory of those who served this country and gave their life to it. But we as Christians see it as a memorial also to Jesus Christ, who loved and served us. And today, we honor those who have gone on before us. Some military, some not. And so I'm going to offer up a chance for a reflection today. If any one of you, where you're at, would like to stand and state a name of someone who has gone on before you, a name that you remember, that sacrificed themselves for you, in that they gave you your foundation. Not that they died for you, but they sacrificed that you would learn their humility. Then I invite you now to stand and say that name.
My mother, Myrtle Irene Waddell.
Stay standing.
My mother, Myrtle Brown.
Stay standing.
My mother.
You. Well, I'm not dead yet. Okay.
Grammy. And her son.
Yeah, you have to stand up. That's.
What did you say, Grammy?
My daughter, Jennifer.
Jackie? Who else?
My mom, Mary, and my sister.
Sunday school teacher, Chris Paul.
Greg?
My father, Joseph Besky.
Reverend Lloyd Abbott.
Shirley?
My mother, Emma.
Others this morning. Others. That person that touched your life that's not here, that you want to remember, stand up if you want and say their name. Steve? Any others this morning? Lynn?
My mother, Beulah Myers, and my deceased father, who died when I was 11 years old.
Shirley?
My mother, Evangeline Kapala, and my father, Hollis Kapala.
Thank you. Any others? Toddy?
My grandfather, Toddy Stars.
Any others? Pat?
My mother, Marguerite, and my father, Paul.
Wow. Marvin?
Also my mother, Fanny.
Any others this morning?
Also my father.
Thank you. Of course, for me, it's everybody. Mita? Any others? John?
My grandmother, Florence.
Thank you. Any others? Join with me in prayer then, please. Father, we lift up those who have left us. Yes, we lift up today those who paid the ultimate sacrifice. But there were so many more that have shaped us, guided us, and are forever imprinted on our hearts, our minds, our life. We offer them to you this Memorial Day to keep them close to you and not to let us forget them. And thankful we are that they shared with us all they had down to the last measure. We thank you, Father, for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So today we offer a reflection of our former self in the water and the one afterwards. Ron and Liz, come up front, please. Certificates of baptism. I'm giving them to you now because they might get wet later on. You know, you are going into water, and once I hand them to you, you have to go into water or I'll carry you downstairs myself. You understand that?
Gotcha.
And this is, I want you to see what it says here. Received holy baptism and became a member. You became a member. This is just the final stitch in the works of the Long Meadow Church of the Brethren on May 28th in the year of our Lord, 2017. So in a few moments, as I'm about done with this part, we're going downstairs and we're going to get wet and we're going to sacrifice our old self behind. Right? Amen. Thank you. I figured I better give it to them now because if I try to give it to them later, I know it'll get wet. And thank you to Diane. You know, y'all get your certificates. Diane makes them up. All I do is like the big trained peacock, sign them. But she does the work for it. And so thank you to all who have served today. To the men and women of the military, of the fire companies, ambulance companies, police stations, who served in the line of duty, get up every morning, and went out to say, "This is my job." And some didn't come home. And we don't forget that. And nor do we forget today the sacrifice that so many gave for our lives to be lived the way they are now. Nor do we forget the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who gave everything that we and all those still yet to come after us may come to know everlasting peace and joy. Thank you to all who have served. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings that is this day. And we ask that you watch over and keep us as we take just a moment now and prepare to pick the service up downstairs as we go for baptism, Father. Oh, what a glorious day. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, and we lift it up. Amen. Now, I believe, like I said, we don't have the video. We'll get that part figured out because there's a pretty video that goes with it. You can blame it on me. But we do, and if you can figure out the words of this song, and they're pretty easy to follow along with, Our final hymn is called Down to the River to Pray. Father, we thank you, we love you, we praise you. We ask that you watch over and keep us as we depart from here and strengthen us in what is yet to come. Walk along with us, Lord. Lift us up and carry us. And we thank you for those that you have given to serve us and that have given that sacrifice. In Jesus' name, I ask for the blessings now to rain down. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, now and forevermore. Amen. I ask you to join me in the basement.